In times such as we live in today in the United States, it's helpful to be able to say what it is that you believe. And so each week at Daleville Christian Church, we claim our faith, we affirm our faith, utilizing verses from God's Word, the Bible. And so the affirmation of our faith today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 24. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He was put to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Today's lesson from God's Word is from Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14, and then we skip on down to verses 34 through 36. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. In last week's message, which as you should know is available online at Daleville Christian Church's website, dalevillechristian.org, look under the heading Sermons and Newsletters. Last week's message was based on a book and film, both entitled Miracles from Heaven, A Little Girl and Her Amazing Story of Healing by Christy Wilson Beam. Miracles from Heaven, I recommend both film and book, although the book is better. It tells the true events of the Beam family of Texas. There was an incurable illness for them, an accident, and then a miracle. I have emphasized the following in the sermon from last week, that the Beam family did not have a crisis of faith, that the Beam family did not need to have more faith, but that the Beam family did have faith in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus told people to have faith. Jesus did not tell people to have more faith. This topic of illness and miracle began to hurt a little bit this past week. I spent several hours updating the church's prayer list, the people, the families, the church members, and complete strangers who are afflicted with illness, those for whom we pray. We also remember on our prayer list the blessings and the healings, but there are many more people who are seriously ill. We have several people who have incurable illnesses in the congregation that we pray for. Now that is actually nothing new. We have prayed for the incurably ill before. We are blessed to be able to pray, to lift up those in need to a greater power, a great God in whom we believe and have faith. Our God is called Healer, or God is the one who heals. And you have the references there for you in the notes. The elders here at Daleville Christian Church have offered healing services for several years. I could comment that the nature of illness and the medical care delivery system have changed dramatically in the last 30 years. It used to be that you got sick or fell ill, then medicine or surgery were required. You did that and then you got better or you got well. Not anymore. Most of American health maladies today are known as chronic. A chronic illness is one that lasts more than 3 months. Chronic diseases generally cannot be prevented by vaccine or cured by medication, nor do they just disappear. 88% of Americans over 65 years of age have at least one chronic health condition. And one chronic condition usually leads to or involves others, such as diabetes, which affects the body's ability to heal. And it also involves kidney function. Some chronic diseases are more common with age. By the way, you recall that people used to die of old age? No one in America has died of old age since 1951. That's when the government officially dropped the designation for death certificates as a cause of death. So no one dies of old age officially anymore. We will now often report in obituaries and on the death certificate that people died of their chronic medical condition, cancer, stroke. For stroke is the result usually of chronic medical conditions. Heart attack also the result mostly of chronic medical conditions or illnesses. We do not list obesity, but we could list obesity as a cause of death. Obesity involves many chronic and resultant conditions. But here is the rub. Somewhere in the middle of the last century, at least in America, people started living nearly twice as long as our ancestors did just 100 years before that. And I love how the writer said this. That means we now spend a large portion of our lives getting old. I'm sorry, you may not like that, but those are the statistics. We're still studying the effects of aging and still really trying to understand what aging is. I stand amazed that I, living in this little town, personally have known 5 people who lived to be 100 years of age or older. And of those 5, their quality of life was very good. I've always been hoping that it's in the water around here that makes that possible. I also am aware that even though I have known 5 people personally who live to be 100 years or older, the chances of living to be 100 years old have increased, although it is still rare. Now, I always chuckle at a news item that shows up regularly in the media. I chuckle at the news item because it's not news. The headline always says, "Oldest person in America dies." Friends, that's not news. If anyone in this country is going to die on any given day, the most likely person to die will be the oldest person in the country. But my point a moment ago was this. We now spend a large portion of our lives getting old. And what that means is that we now spend a large portion of our lives getting chronically ill. You might say, well, Pastor, what's this got to do with the Bible? Well, friends, you and I represent a God who heals. We proclaim a healer, Jesus Christ. But healing in Jesus' century and even disease in Jesus' century looks a lot different than it does in our century. Last week's true report from the Beam family was of a child who was healed of an incurable illness. And yes, Anna Beam's condition was chronic. Anna's condition would eventually have killed her. But it would have taken years to kill her. Jesus healed Anna Beam. Jesus is a healer. The Bible states that in many places. I'll read to you. Matthew 19:2. Large crowds followed him, and Jesus healed them there. Matthew 21:14. The blind and the lame came to Jesus at the temple, and he healed them. Mark chapter 1, verse 34, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. Mark 3:10, for he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Over and over, it appears that the emphasis is on Jesus, not on the faith of the healed. Luke chapter 4, verse 40, at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, Jesus healed them. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. Yet the news about Jesus spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Luke chapter 6, verse 18. Those who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Jesus' followers continued Jesus' healing practices. Acts chapter 5, verse 16, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Acts chapter 8, verse 7. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. I have mentioned more than once in this pulpit to you that in Jesus' day there were several people who practiced healings. There were pagan magicians, pagan priests, Jewish Pharisees. There were also doctors in medical practices in the ancient world. And all of these people could specialize. Imagine there were specialists in Jesus' day. But part of the miracle of Jesus' healing was that Jesus healed them all. Jesus healed whatever was brought to him. He healed them. And part of my point is that in many cases, faith is not mentioned. That doesn't mean that people didn't have faith. They must have had faith in Jesus' ability to heal, or they would not have sought Jesus out. But when some who call themselves Christians tell other Christians they need to have more faith, well, that's just not a phrase that Jesus or the disciples used. We talked last year about the failure of the disciples to drive out a demon that was causing medical problems. Jesus told the disciples that to drive out that demon, you needed to use prayer and fasting. So the King James Version says. But Jesus healed the boy who was possessed. Having said all that, you might not be aware of how many people who are a part of this church are right now chronically ill. I count 16 people directly involved in the church and another 14 who are connected to the church. How many people present this morning? So, a third or a fourth of us are basically sick all the time. Let me just say that when I was in seminary years ago, nobody told me that that is what my pastoring life would be like in the church. Because how we view health, wellness, and illness has changed. But friends, our God does not change. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, tomorrow. When Jesus stepped up to proclaim the word of God in the synagogue, in his first public and open address on the Bible, Jesus turned to the scripture of the prophet Isaiah and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The King James Version reads, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Not just broken bodies will Jesus heal, but Jesus wants to heal our broken spirits. Jesus wants to heal our broken hearts. Five times we read that Jesus restored someone's eyesight or Jesus restored their limbs. Friends, Jesus wants to redeem us, all of us, and every part of us. However, we sometimes don't bring our hearts for restoration. Sometimes we don't bring our souls for healing. Sometimes, and only sometimes, we bring our bodies for healing. Only our bodies. You might be interested to know that the word cure in our language originally had a spiritual meaning. You may have heard of the church office called the curate. That's a person who has a spiritual charge to cure, responsible for the cure of souls. We had a discussion in the elders not too long ago about a chronically ill person, and the question was asked, why don't they do what the doctor asks? Friends, why don't we do what the doctor asks us to do? Why don't we dedicate ourselves to healing? Not for us to heal ourselves, but dedicate taking ourselves to Jesus for healing. Jesus can cure the incurable. Americans so often want their bodies healed. I understand that. But as pastor, as one who reads the Bible, there is much more to our lives than our bodies. Our spirits, our souls, our minds, our hearts, and they all need healing. Why do we look at just one part of us? And I don't say this to shame anyone. It's just a fact of American life. We often participate freely in our own poor health. We live lifestyles that result in chronic illness. We don't do what the doctor recommends. But to me, that only means if you've participated in making yourself ill, then please participate in making yourself well. If you have participated in making yourself ill, please, please participate in making yourself well. Seek the Lord Jesus. Bring yourself body, mind, and soul to the healer. Let him place his hands on you. I remind you that Annabelle Beam was chronically sick with an incurable illness for 5 years. 5 years. That was half her life. These were faithful, church-going people. 5 years. And remember what Annabelle told Jesus in heaven when Jesus told her she had to go back to earth? Annabelle Beam, a child, told Jesus, "I don't want to go back to earth." Annabelle's pain was that great. Annabelle was tired of living with her condition. Even before Annabelle saw Jesus in heaven, Annabelle had told her mother that she would rather die than live. And if she died, then she could live with Jesus. Kevin Beam, Annabelle's dad, said, "We've been where you are. A lot of pain. Times can be challenging and very rough. The thing I have found is that the faithfulness of God has been what I count on and rest assured upon." The faithfulness of God. The Beams did not need more faith. Jesus didn't say that. The Beams had faith. So do you. Remain faithful. Seek Jesus. Give yourself to Him. Our Lord is a healer. Amen.